Thank you for the offering. Thank you for the good food. There's something else I want to thank you for that you probably were unconscious that it showed. But last night when Brother Randy was up talking about when he got saved, telling his church, I don't know about you, but I love to hear people talk about when they got saved. In fact, the other night, I told the church, I want some testimonies. Tell me when and how you got saved. And I didn't preach very well and didn't preach very long, but I felt like the service was well worth it because different ones got up and began to tell us how they got saved. I know I'd heard it before, but it was just good to hear it again. Amen. And what I really liked about it, when Brother Randy was doing what exhorting different things he'd done, I saw you, and they wasn't all, it's probably visitors, but I don't know who is and who isn't hardly, but I know some of you belong here, on your feet, back in your pasture, and honoring him. And I'll tell you, that blessed my heart. Amen. That blessed my heart to see you honoring this man. How long have you been pastoring here?
31 years.
I was thinking it's 31 years. 31 years. And he's still, you're honoring him. He still gets anointed. He's still a blessing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't think it would be wrong to give him a hand. Praise the Lord. Amen. Would it be hard to give a handsome couple a hand, a Brother Mike and Sister Roberts? Amen. Give them, they're a handsome couple, aren't they? Amen. I just thought I wanted to do that. I thought, you know, I sang this morning. I saw them about them sitting there last night. I thought, they are a handsome couple.
All right.
Amen. All right. So, I just wanted to do that, and I appreciated the service last night, and I want to tell you, I feel like that there was more accomplished than what we saw.
I believe it.
I felt that when I sat in on that front pew there, a feeling of satisfaction came over
good,
me
good.
That God had accomplished something.
Well,
and I was just glad to sit there and just have that feeling. You know, you have that feeling of failing and that feeling of not reaching. And I know we had that feeling because I told Brother Ronnie and Brother Jodine, I said, I'm telling you, before Randy got through, I didn't know if anybody in that building was saved or not. Amen. So, all, more sinners here than at the Gamblers Convention, you know. But that evangelistically speaking, as so. And so anyway, but in honesty, it was like straining a gnat, swallowing a camel. It was exaggerated, but it's to make you know there were a lot of sinners here. And so it's good to be working with Brother Hyde again this year and be at your church and be with all you good people. And I want to, Brother Hyde may not even know he said it, because a lot of times when the Holy Ghost is moving, you don't know, sometimes you say things that you don't remember saying. I've done that, and I know others have done it, but after I'd come up and tried to get people to be saved, I felt a strong burden for the lost last night. I stand over there, Brother Hyde said twice, go out in the midst of them. And I heard that, and I prayed about it, because I felt like maybe the Holy Ghost is talking to me. And so that's the reason why I ran around inviting people to come and get help from the Lord, because I felt like that he was anointed of the Lord, and I needed to obey that and do it the best I could. So when they said, go out in the midst of them, he could have meant a lot of things, but I prayed and said, Lord, now what do you want me to do? And that's what I did. Well, I hope that I've covered everything that I need to cover. Praise the Lord. I want to preach on something, but I want to use some scriptures here. And again, I was sitting there thinking, I was hoping that Brother Brent would just go ahead and keep on going, because I didn't see how we could do any better than we were doing. Amen. I just felt like this such a good sermon message. It wasn't just a sermon. It was a message from heaven. And I just wanted to keep on. But I feel like these last two or three days in my part of the ministry that I've been kind of reaching for something. And maybe today, I don't know that we'll see any more outcome from it than maybe last night. Because last night I felt like there was a tremendous move of God toward the hearts of the lost. Just in the singing, everything, you know. I'll tell you, but of course, just from the moment I come to church last night, I was enjoying every bit of it. Amen? When the brother picked up that mandolin, he hit those few strings, Brother Mac hit that banjo, I thought, man, I'm ready. Hallelujah. Amen. Just to hear them, you know, just that's about all I got to really hear real loud. But just I needed that opening, and so I was glad for that. But I preached Monday on forgiveness, and you know, we have a lot of needs in church. We got a lot of sick people. But I remember the Bible said that God turned again the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. I'll tell you, there had to be some forgiveness there. That bunch had wore him out. Amen. He finally got so aggravated, he said, you're probably the wisest man on earth, and when you die, there'll be nobody left to have the wisdom you got. And now you're wore out when you say something like that. Did you know that? But he forgave them, and God turned the captivity of Job, Yesterday I preached on chastisement. That's how we get the holiness of God. We can lay off things for God, but we have to go through those tears and trials and tests and tribulations and misunderstandings and false accusations and things that you're not guilty of, being accused of. And you go through all those things, but you're becoming more and more Christ-like, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Amen. Praise the Lord. To be holy like God is takes trials and tests. It molds our character, doesn't it? So I'd like to move on a little bit with that, and I don't know how to get into this, but I want to just give you a few scriptures from the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, and this really isn't my text. I'll get to my text in a minute. But it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels is steadfast, never transgression, disobedience, received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of me, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, didst set him over the works of the hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For that he put all in subjection under his feet, he left nothing not put under him. But now we see not, I put feet in there twice, didn't he? But we see not all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than angels. Give me a minute here. Amen. I know I'll have to find it. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he with the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, the reason why I did that is because I realized I'd messed up on that death deal, and then I couldn't get my mind collected. But what I want to say about this, I don't really think that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I really don't think so. And the reason why I don't is because where it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first beginning is spoken of the Lord and was confirmed on us by them that heard him. Paul was one of those that confirmed those things, as far as I'm concerned. You know, God also bearing them witness both signs and wonders, divers, miracles, gifts, Holy Ghost, according to his own will. They had, this person had seen some great things and some wonderful things. So I feel like that this person had seen enough and heard enough and knew enough that he felt like, I cannot go before the judgment and say, simply if I don't see anything else, it's because you didn't move, God. I knew enough about you that I'm responsible to live for you. You know, that's the way I look at it. And another thing I notice here, you notice how the Bible said God put all things under subjection to men's feet and us. And I really believe that given time, man will discover a cure for cancer because God just put that in man. I've got a book, Men Against Death, and men died by contracting the very disease that they were trying to find a cure for. But they did find a cure. Men died. I remember a man by the name of Semmelweis that finally figured out why women that were bearing children in their hospitals there in Vienna, Austria, that he finally figured out why they were dying. Because of the fact that these doctors were examining them and weren't washing their hands, and they were examining other women. And actually, it was so bad. There was such a death rate in that hospital that when women found out they were going to have a child, they'd try to have a child out away from the hospital. And if they're going to be put, they'd fall down on their knees and beg the doctor not to send them to the hospital because so many of them died. And he finally figured out, amen, that these people are dying because of the fact that these doctors were carrying diseases from one woman to other in their examination. And so they laughed at him. They made fun of him because all the doctors under him, he would make them wash their hands in this solution over and over and over and over again. He wore them out, making them wash their hands. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. But he cured a lot of the death rate there. God had put all things under his feet. God found a man that wanted to help mankind, and he gave him the ability. This man died an insane man, but he fought for the lives of those mothers that were bearing children. Amen? And so when I say that we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Now that's really a statement to me when I think about how that we see Jesus. We know that man hasn't discovered a cure for a lot of things. Cancer is still a fearful thing. Let me ask you a question. How many people here know someone, or maybe you've even had it, know someone that has cancer? Let me see here. Or has had cancer. Raise your hand. I'm not going to try to trick you. See how a lot of you. Now let me ask you something else. How many people here know someone that's had cancer that's been cured? You heard about it. You read about it. You consent. You believe. And how many here know someone that's had cancer that's been cured? See, several hands going up. See what I'm saying? When man isn't going able to handle it, God is. That's what I'm saying. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, Matthew talks about Isaiah 53 and 4 being the healing of those people that were there. He himself bare our infirmities. In 1 Peter, is it chapter what? I can't remember. But he talks about chapter 2, I believe it is. He talks about that he himself bare, that he by his stripes we were healed, and he's talking about sin. Salvation for the lost, healing for the sick. He by himself bore our sins. He tasted death for every man. Romans, we like Romans 8, I don't know if I quote it, but it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then the next verse says what? For the law of the life of the Spirit in Christ, is that the way that is? Something like that. Hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That doesn't matter whether it's sin that's killing me or sickness that's killing me. His law, that law of the Spirit of life in Christ, has made me free, given me power over death. Hallelujah. Whether it's by sin or by sickness, it gives power. And I told you the other day, I don't understand why that I don't know these things sooner. But I was, Brother Brent, I was shook to my soul when I realized that Jesus Christ came as a man, just a son of man. And he came and showed us what could happen to a man that would be anointed with power and with the Holy Ghost. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It just shook me to realize that what God was trying to tell us is if you are in Christ, we're joint heirs with Christ, we're heirs of God. If you're in Christ, you can have that power residing in you. Does that mean that I think that I'm laying hands on people who are going to heal them? Not necessarily. I know what my calling is. I'm satisfied with my calling. I'm not satisfied with my ministry, but I'm satisfied with my calling. You understand? Amen. I don't even wish to have the ability to heal. I wish everybody could be healed. I wish you could be healed. But I don't wish to have that ability to pray for you and be healed. Somehow it just don't seem to be my part of my life. Because the one reason I know that that spirit resides in the church. It's here. It's here. And I told you the other day, you know, we get in our mind that we know how to do it. You say, Brother Charles, you told us the other day about praying for Sister Faye Wilbanks, and you made everybody shut up, not say a word, while you prayed. And then you asked them to say amen when you say amen, and God opened her blind eyes. It absolutely happened. You say, Brother Charles, why didn't you keep it up? Because people don't like to be told what to do. You can't tell me how to pray for the sick. I know how to pray for them. Huh? I'd ask people, I'd say, I'll be quiet, let me pray you. And I'd start laying hands on them. Oh, God, help me, help me, God, help me. You know, they didn't want to listen because they knew how to pray for the sick. And they knew how to pray for themselves. And so finally, I just gave it up. I just said, all right. Amen, no use. And God's healed some people. And I speak as a fool. But I've seen God heal people. I remember a small boy, that the doctor had given him 4 days to live. His heart was beating and was going to eventually burst. And the doctor said there's nothing he could do about it. I remember after fasting and praying, and it felt like the Lord told me to go there. And the Lord miraculously furnished me money to go there. Amen. And I ain't going to worry with that. But when I prayed, went in to pray, the nurse, I said, I'd like to pray for him. He was in isolation. You couldn't go in there, but they allowed me to go in. And she turned her back on me and said, suit yourself. And I knelt down by his bed and prayed a simple prayer. A little while after that, we were sitting outside, the doctor come in. He walked back outside. He looked at that mother and father, and he said, well, his heart isn't any faster. That's a good sign. They had fought a disease, and they gave him such strong antibiotics that it was burst in his heart. And he's alive today. Amen. So I've seen those things. I'm not here to try to tell you, though, that I am a man that knows how to do everything. But I know one thing. We need unity when we pray for the sick. I don't really care about laying my hands on you. I don't care a bit about that. Because the Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I can pray just as good over here, but somebody needs to lay hands on you because that's the Bible way. Amen. Now, I know I'm kind of getting in some of you. Like I said, that's not really preaching, but I'm just talking to you today because we need help. Yeah. We need help. We need to learn how to forgive so we can have power in our prayers. Right. We need to learn that if when under the chastisement of God and things aren't going right, amen, and we're not seeing things and we're frustrated, we don't know which way to go, what to do, we realize that God is still on the throne, and he still cares for his own. Amen? We need to realize that and put our trust in the Lord. Now, it's easy to me preach that because I'm so bad about not doing it, you know. So I'm aware I'm just judging you by myself, all right? Amen. But here about this people being healed and being helped, I believe there is healing for the people of God. I do that. And I'm not getting where I want to go yet, but I'm trying to. And I'm just trying to talk to you a little bit about this. And I'm trying to tell you that, amen, when we gather around to pray for somebody, we need to put our minds on that person. Huh? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now listen, I'm just using myself. I holler and scream just like everybody else usually. You know, we get the preacher up here to pray for him. He lays hands on him and start praying. And I'm praying, oh God, heal him, Lord, set him free. And I'm thinking, I wonder how many times they've been prayed for. Huh? Hallelujah. Oh, God, heal them. And I'm thinking, I wish I could get it, but I don't know. It just seemed like, you know. And you just start, and then all of a sudden you think about somebody else over here, somebody over there, you know. And you start, you know, we just get to that place where we're praying, we're saying the right words, but we aren't agreeing as touching this one thing. And that's the reason why a lot of times I like to just bow my head and listen to what that preacher's praying and say, that's what I'm asking for. Or that's where I'm at. That's it. I'm agreeing with him. Now, I'm not trying to tell you how to preach. I'm praying. I'm not going to try to tell you not to pray loud, long, all. No, I'm not trying to say it. But if you're going to pray long and loud, at least get your mind on what you're saying. Huh? I may look at things different like other people does. But just like this, the Bible said, did you know people, I've seen people get so, they get kind of, their feelings hurt if you don't let them touch the oil. You know, I've seen them actually, they didn't get to the oil or you just start praying, you just catch them out of the corner of your eye. They're backing off somewhere. They're getting off somewhere that's one side. They didn't get to touch the oil. What on earth are we talking about? Amen? They lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. You know what I think about that anointing with oil? I mean, it's where the good Samaritan, when he poured on the oil and the wine, I'm going to do whatever I can to help your sickness. That's what I think it means. And when I put that oil in my hand, lay it on your forehead, brother, I'm saying, there ain't a thing I can do for you. If the oil would do it, I'd do it. But I'm just testifying here that the oil ain't going to do it, and only the prayer of faith can heal you, and that's why I want you healed. Amen. You may disagree with me on that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've seen people with a lot of faith. They're superstitious about that oil. One evangelist come to our church when I was first saved, and he got up, and I was on AEL and was having oil dripping from his hands, you know. People praying, he had that oil, supernatural oil coming, just dripping from his hand. He also had a jar with three unclean spirits like frogs in it. He's carrying around showing they'd finally captured the devil. You know, not really. But anyway, I'm just saying, amen. And this old boy, he said, look here, I got oil in my hand. I reached down and rubbed, said, it looks like sweat to me. He made him mad. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just a young Christian. I said, it looks like sweat to me. And it made him mad. You know what happened? He was married. He finally married my first cousin. They separated and divorced. You know what happened to that man? I was with Bobby when he died in the hospital. You know what he's begging for? He wasn't begging for prayer. He's trying to talk me into getting him a cigarette. He's dying for a smoke. Backslid. With all that oil, and he backslid. I'm telling you, we're not here for superstition. We're here to believe God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Great men laid hands on people. They didn't have the oil and they were healed. I'm not against you using oil, but remember this. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. And if the pastor don't ask you to touch the oil, or if you don't get a chance to touch the oil, you may not touch the oil, but you can touch God. You can touch God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Like I said, I don't claim to be somebody great. I don't claim to have the prayer. Amen. I remember years ago when I was preaching at Richlands Tabernacle, I felt like turning over to Brother John Gabbard because there were so many sick. I have a feeling for people that are sick, don't you? Yeah. I said, God, if there's any way to help, and I've been praying that day. I wanted a miracle. God, help us. Amen. And finally, I just, and Brother John, he said, well, you pushed me in there. I really did because I wanted to get in on it. And when we got to us praying, I hadn't seen one thing. And I went home feeling defeated down. 8 years later, at Soperton, not Soperton, but down at Broxton, Georgia, a woman said, do you remember me? And I said, no, I don't remember you. And she told me how she had a disease, or a sickness. And what it was, I don't know how to announce it. Anyway, whatever it was, it's something about her jaw was unhinged and whatever. She was waiting to see if her insurance would cover that because she couldn't afford the operation and she had to have it because she's getting where she couldn't chew. It's locking up. Amen. And she said, Brother John Gabbard said, all I know, said he, that time, you know, he'd use a handful of that oil, buddy. Amen. He slapped that oil. She said, next thing I know, I come to us laying on my back. That oil was all over my face and my head. Amen. And she said, my jaw was working right. Said, I got home and they said, you know, they sent me a note, your insurance won't pay for this. But what did it matter that it wouldn't pay for it? She was healed, hallelujah. But I didn't know it. It took me 8 years to find out that God actually moved. That's the reason why I say, if you feel like God's done something, you give God the glory. Don't look around and say, yes, I don't see it happening. Just have faith in God. So I'm saying, if Brother John Gabbard was here, I'd say, Brother John, take the lead on this. Brother Frank Rogers went with me down to Brother Savage's whole revival. Wasn't no great revival. One night, amen, I just more or less turned it over to Brother Frank. He loves to pray for the sick. He has faith in praying for the sick. I have faith in him praying. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So I'm not here to talk to you, to try to tell you, amen, that you come to me and I'll give you that, what you need to give you the charge to be healed. I'm telling you there is an atmosphere in this place this morning that if you want to be healed, it's a good time to check it out and see if maybe God will move for you. Hallelujah. We're going to have prayer line after a while. In the face of the devil, we're going to have prayer line. I hope I've said everything that I need to say on this. I'm not trying to be, don't think I'm trying to be smart. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to straighten your church out. I don't care how much oil you use. I don't care how many times you use it. That don't bother me a bit in the world. But I'll tell you one thing. If you have everybody touch your hand and you don't feel like letting me touch it, you ain't going to change my prayer life. You ain't going to change how I'm going to pray. If I touch it or I don't touch it, it ain't going to make no difference to me. Because like I said, amen, I think that means do what you can. Hallelujah. I've used this illustration before. Amen. If you're laying out here beside the road and you've had a sunstroke, I ain't going to come back and pray for you and say, God bless you. Hope God heals you. Now, if you have faith, if you don't have faith, you're going to die. But if you have faith, I'm going to drag you in the shade. Why? It's good medicine to get you out of the sun. Huh? That's what I can do. I can't do anything else, but I can do that. You see what I'm trying to say? Thou's put all things in subjection under his feet. But when we get to a place where we can't see any help from anywhere else, we can still see Jesus. He's still there. Hallelujah. He's still there. He's still willing to help. Hallelujah. Glory. Am I doing all right? I don't know if I'm doing all right or not. But I'm trying to preach it now. I want to read to you. I think I'm ready for this. Yeah, I am ready. From Luke. Because I want to give time for the prayer for the sick or whatever your need might be. Because I believe God's here. I have faith in these ministers. I have faith in you Christians that you will pray. And don't come up here and say, well, for Brother Charles' sake, we'll be quiet. Don't do that to me. Holler just like you always do. But get your mind on your business. Don't be hollering now and thinking about what kind of, is it time for food? Don't be hollering now and thinking about what your wife said to you this morning that aggravates you. Don't be hollering now and thinking about that bill that you got this morning you didn't know how he's going to pay. Don't be hollering now. Put your mind to the present problem. That is the fact this person needs help. And the pastor and the deacons or whoever's praying for him. And I want to be a part of this. I want to see them healed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Luke. Luke. 23rd chapter. Let's read. Luke 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. And you talk about chastisement. And saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. You know, the Bible says in Matthew's gospel, the thieves, derided him or railed on him, whatever it was, but they're called thieves there. And of course, a malefactor is someone that's taken from two Greek words. It means a bad doer, evil doer, criminal. It means wrongdoer. In other words, you're doing or making evil and creating or originating evil. Amen. So it's a very wicked person that they're hanging there with him. And one of the malefactors which are hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself. But the other answered, somewhere he settled down and got to thinking this thing through. The other answered and said unto him, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to them, Verily I say unto thee, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. When thou comest into thy kingdom, into thy royal domain, that's what it means, amen. When you come to where they honor you as king, remember me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Matthew 8 chapter, Verse 8, a Roman centurion said these words, But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Jesus answered, Verily I say unto you, verily I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. You know, that's a wonderful thing to realize that Roman centurion had such great faith. But when I look at this crucified thief, I say, I've not found so great faith, no, and not all the Bible. This man has the greatest faith of any I know of. Huh? I don't know where you'd go to find greater faith. You look at this. Whenever we talk about that thief there, when he said, remember me, he was saying, think on me. Think on me. Think on me. And you can see that Roman centurion. He had a lot of things that he could look around and see. There was people being healed. Jesus was preaching. Miracles were being done. Amen. He was doing it. But when the thief was there, amen, when he said what he did, he was looking at a man who was naked, disfigured, humiliated, with his hands and feet nailed to a cross, suffering the same pains of death the thieves are experiencing. Amen. Is this the one the thief is calling Lord? Yes, it is. And saying, you're a king. You have a kingdom. You told Pilate their kingdom is not of this world. but you have a kingdom, and when you get there, remember me. I tell you, that's the greatest faith I know of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That thrills me. I don't know about you, but it thrills me to realize what faith this man had. Hanging there, and Lord, remember me. You know, Joseph, when he was in prison, when he was there, he told that one that had that dream. He said, "But think on me, or remember me when you get back." He was forgotten. But when that thief said that to Jesus, Jesus never forgot him. He said, "Verily I say to you, this today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Today we're hanging on an old rugged cross. Today we're pain, we're hurting. Amen. It's costing us everything we can do just to take a breath. Amen. Praise God. We take hold of it as long as we can because we know the minute we have to take a breath, we're going to have to pull with our hands and struggle with our feet. And we're going to feel those nails pulling and tearing the flesh. Amen. It's going to cost us everything we can do to take a breath. Amen. But when that thief looked at him and said, "Lord, Lord, Lord, remember me." And Jesus didn't say it like I said it. He said, "This day, take another breath. Thou shalt be with me." Hallelujah. Today. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my friend, you talk about great faith. You talk about wonderful faith. Amen. One of the things that John told Jesus, Jesus told John when he sent him to the word to the prison, he told him this thing. When he's sitting there, he said this, "The dead are raised." Amen. I wonder if that thief might have been in jail at that time and heard those words. I wonder if that thief might have been, amen, the man that was at the pool that Brother, call his name, Cheeks was preaching about. Reckon he was that one that was at the pool that Jesus said, "Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee." Do you suppose that after he got healed, he went back to his old ways of doing things? He wouldn't have been the first backslider that got helped and went back. Huh? I've got a granddaughter that was at death row, death door. Brother Ronnie, she couldn't eat. She couldn't do anything. I won't take your time to tell you what a pitiful existence she had. And God healed her. As far as I know, she's backslidden today. But she knows what it is to be healed. Therefore, I say, there's a possibility that this thief might have been the man that was healed at the house of kindness, amen, at the pool there. It might have been him. And as he stood there, as he was hanging there, and he was taunting Jesus, all of a sudden he thought about that time when he laid helpless and couldn't do anything for himself. Amen. When he just laid there, 38 years he'd suffered, and Jesus came by. Amen. And oh, he healed him. There's a song said there was that time long, long ago. Amen. There was a time when I was in sin. Listen, my friend. Amen. It's easy to forget what God has done for us in the past if we aren't careful. Think on me. Think on me. Amen. Hallelujah. There's that thief. He's in jail. He's waiting his fate. There's another man in there getting ready to be beheaded. His disciples come to him. And he's listening. And they say, "John, we've just been talking to the Messiah, the Master. He said to tell you that the dead are raised." Hallelujah. That don't mean they're just being raised. That means I still have power to raise the dead. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hanging on the cross, he said. I thought of that. That brain so tortured and twisted by pain. Amen. Sin so heavy on his heart. Ah, Lord, remember me. When you cut to your royal domain, when you hit that place for the dead die not, when you get to that place where people hear your voice and you call them forth and they come out of the grave unto everlasting righteousness and rewards, amen. Lord, remember me. I tell you, that's the greatest faith I know of. Right. Lord, when you come up from the grave, right, as the sun shines and the birds are singing their sweet songs, would you, Lord, think on me down in the valley of Gehenna? I'll be thrown down there. It's a place where you liken unto hell, where I'll be, dragged unless some of the family or unknown friends claim me. I'll be dragged there with the dead donkeys and the other dead animals and thrown upon that forever burning trash pile, my body burning, decomposing, and perhaps being eaten by the wild dogs that thrive there. Would you, Lord, in your glorified body, think on me? Hallelujah. What faith this man had. Amen. Amen. He was saying, Lord, when you triumph over death, hell, and the grave, think on me. When you reach that land of endless beauty, think on me. When you feel that eternal breeze, that breathing that caused the earth to take shape, life to be formed and man to live, think on me. When millions fall down before you in worship, think on me. When you hear the Father say, well done, my child, think on me. When you're in the midst of the throne, in the midst of four beasts, in the midst of 420 elders, in the midst of all the saints, think on me. Amen. I'm talking about the greatest faith I know of in the entire Bible. Hallelujah. 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 I read an article, I think it's put out by Reverend Danny Taylor, OBI, and he told of a preacher down here in Alabama. He was down there pastoring church, took a little old church. God blessed that church, and they began to grow. But that preacher had something that was a little irritable to people. He had a boy that had a sickness. That sickness caused that child to cry out and holler a lot during the service. And the church grew, and the people decided to finally, you know, they've grown to the place. I'm putting this in there. He didn't put it that way, but I'm putting it in there. They finally decided, we don't need the preacher anymore because we can't put up with that kid anymore, huh? Hallelujah. So they put him out. Hallelujah. He is put out. Times is hard, no money. Amen. And then one day, if I remember the story right, he was started somewhere and had a flat. Got out to hot, sweaty, boy sick. And got out, and a preacher he knew drove right by and never even stopped. Never even stopped to help him. Eventually that boy died and had to bury him. He stood there looking out that grave, Brother Joey. He looked out that grave. There laid his life right there. There laid his love. He loved God. He'd given himself to the ministry. He took a church that was struggling. He brought it up and gave it stability. But because he had a child that they couldn't stand, they put him out. And then his own friends would pass by him when he didn't have money hardly do anything, and let him worry about his own flats. And then his child got sick so bad that he died, and he had to bury him. You know what he said? I loved it. According to this article, he looked at that grave, and he said, I ain't going to let no mystery send me to hell. Hallelujah. He didn't understand it, but he said, I ain't going to let no mystery send me to hell. He and his wife felt led to be missionaries to Africa. And I know you've read this, some of you have. And they went to Africa to be a missionaries. They got over there, and a man walked up to them. I don't know how long they've been there. But a man walked up to them one day and had a little old dirty roll of rags in his arm. And he said, my wife has died, and I'm dying. Would you please take this and take care of him? Inside those rags was a little dirty African baby. Amen. They took him. He replaced the baby they lost and buried over here. They raised him. They stayed over there. The time came when this man that was raised became very influential, and he got a place in the government. He became a part of their parliament in the making of laws and what have you. And so the government decided they were going to put all missionaries out of that particular nation. So they gathered to hear arguments pro and con. And I guess everybody was pretty well for putting them out. But before they get through, this man stood up, this distinguished man that had been in a little dirty bundle of rags that had been given to the missionaries. He said these simple words. If it weren't for the missionaries, I wouldn't be alive. And it changed the whole thing. It changed the whole thing. If I remember right, that man and his wife finally grew old and had to come back to the United States of America. They died on the same day, just a few hours apart from each other. You know what I think? I think they were just like the thief on the cross. Think on me. And I think God said today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. 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 When you're upholding all things by the word of your power, the stars, the heavens, the throne, powers and principalities of the earth, think on me. When you set the limit of hell, controlling the extent of the activity of the devil and his angels, think on me. When you stand to receive the Stephen the martyr, Lord, would you also think on me and receive this poor, nameless malefactor? Think on me. The greatest faith. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. You're sitting there thinking, I've been sick for a long time, and I've never been healed. I ain't got no faith. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't be here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody can have faith if every time they cry, God heals them. You hear what I'm saying? But when you're sick and suffering, and yet you come to church day after day, year after year, I think heaven takes notice of that. Hallelujah. When it looks like your prayers aren't being answered and others are healed and you're left behind, amen, that don't mean you don't have faith. That don't mean you don't have faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There come a time when that thief realized the way of the cross leads home. Hallelujah. Whatever your cross may be, it leads home, huh? Hallelujah. I was listening to a program called Night Sounds one time. There's a man there by the name of Kellogg. And Mr. Kellogg told one of his most trusted, told this. He, one of his most trusted and spiritual advisors was a lady that studied the Bible constantly and carefully and sent him his greatest spiritual truths. Now here, her face is disfigured because of cancer, and she and her husband have suffered the tragedy of losing their only son by suicide. Now this is a woman that studied her Bible and sends him things that she reads that helped him along in his work. It seems, here's what he said, it seems that they have fallen far, far short of what life had promised. Although they have fallen short of life's promises, they're living to the fullest what life has dealt them. Hallelujah. 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 Joy, I wish Trish was with you. Yeah. Amen, Ronnie. I wish Ronnie would pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish I didn't have a son. And we'll celebrate his 45th birthday this Saturday. Laying in a bed. Can't feed himself. Can't get a drink of water. But I wanted to live to the fullest, the best I can for God. And I know you do too. That's why I came to tell you this morning. I'd like to have a prayer line. I'd like for people to pray for you. But if you choose not to come, I want to tell you something. I admire you. I admired the man that come with that woman with the wheelchair, rolled her in, rolled her out, took her to lunch. Amen. Praise God. You may say, well, we don't look like the apostolic church. You aren't looking in the right direction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're living holy for God. You're taking your chastisement that you might be partakers of his holiness and be a partaker of the divine nature. Huh? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God for you. Thank God for you just the way you are. And there's hope for you. and there's help for you. And maybe this will be a day that some of you will get relief. I prayed this morning that God would bring relief to some of you and help you, all of you possibly. But I pray for that. I'm going to turn the service back to Brother Randy. I'd like for him and Brother Joy to come. And I'd like some of you other brothers, Brother Jeffrey, Brother Mike, if you feel like coming, Brother Ronnie, all the preachers to come up front. And I'd like you, if you're here, while you're up here, and I'd like them to get the anointing oil. And like I'm saying, if you come up and you cry out, say, God, heal me, God, heal me. I'm not down on you. I'm just telling you, God bless you. I'm glad that you're here because it shows you have faith. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My daughter's in pain. My son in Richmond, Indiana, hurt his leg years ago. He suffers pain. My boy cries and begs God to take away his pain. Amen. All this, and I'm so well and healthy, it's disgusting. Come on. Come on, brothers. Take over.
Prayer, come right on.